So welcome to another episode of Let's Chat With. Joining me is female bubble magician, Meadow Perry. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. You call yourself a bubble magician. What is a bubble magician?
I'm really glad you asked. So a bubble magician is a magician who primarily works with bubbles or works a lot with bubbles. Some people call us bubble artists. Some people call us bubbleologists. However, I do prefer the term bubble magician because I also put magic with my bubble artistry. So I kind of combine the two disciplines, as it were.
What came first, the love of magic or bubbles?
That's really funny because my first bubble trick was really a magic trick. It was Molly McBubble is what some people call it, where you pluck a bubble from the air and you've made it into a solid sphere or marble. So when I started doing children's entertainment, that was one of my tricks as a little back and forth with kids. And I didn't really consider it a magic trick at that point, but it really was. I would blow little bubbles and I would catch one. It would be a marble and I would give it to them as a little takeaway. And that was really my first magic trick, even though I didn't really consider it back then.
As a bubble magician, who has inspired you?
I would say Tom Noddy. Tom Noddy has inspired me a lot. And of course, he's the godfather of bubbles. So he created a lot of the effects that I do, like the carousel and the cube and some of those more complicated pieces. You know, he really pioneered all the bubble stuff. But I also really appreciate Pep Boo, who is in Spain, with his bubble wall. That's one of my favorite effects and one that I love to perform, that not very many people perform that one. And I just think it's a spectacular piece. So those are definitely my top. Tom Noddy and Pep Boo are definitely my top inspirations.
What kind of reactions do you get when you tell people that you are a bubble magician?
I get people who say, oh, that's interesting. What is that? And I basically tell them I blow bubbles for a living. And people are like, wow, I need to get in on that. And it's always a hilarious reaction to be, you know, a grown woman who blows bubbles for a living. I live a charmed life.
You belong to many different magical societies. What is the Association of International Bubble Artists?
So the Association of International Bubble Artists is obviously worldwide. It's a global organization of people who work with bubbles, either in performance or in bubble therapy, which a few of our members do. But there's probably about 100 of us at this point, and we are just kind of bubble aficionados, and we meet once a month on Zoom, and it's a lot of fun to get to bounce ideas off of each other, show each other what we're working on, and it's kind of like a little bubble family. And it's a lot more close-knit than, say, being a part of SAM or IBM magic communities. You have this really tight community worldwide. And I think it's great that I can go anywhere in the world and there's probably a bubble person, a bubble obsessed person nearby that I can visit. So I'm excited about that.
You just mentioned, what is bubble therapy?
So bubble therapy is when you take your bubbles to, say, like a nursing home or some kind of program for their, when there's people that might be have different abilities to be able to do things. And the bubbles can facilitate some fun kind of play. Some people do it for schools and daycares and allow the people to get really hands-on because it is a great sensory experience. You can touch the bubbles, you can make bubbles, you can see bubbles. So it's a great type of therapy and play that really makes people happy. So I think that's a great form of therapy.
You were a student of the world-renowned Jeff McBride Magic and Mystery School. Tell us about the school and what was the experience like for you?
Oh, gosh. I would say that it's been great to kind of be a part of the Mystery School because there's so many other magicians that are like-minded there that are really focused on storytelling and sort of, it's not all bizarre magic, but not your stereotypical magic usually. There's a lot of people that are very creative. So it's great to be a part of that. And they sort of facilitate that and help you to push your boundaries and you know, bouncing ideas and they have Mystery School Mondays every week. And I haven't been able to be a part of it lately because I've been working, but it's a great community. That's, you know, they sort of pioneered having this like Zoom online classroom before the pandemic. So, you know, you get to have that global community, which is fantastic. And it's a little different than your stereotypical magic club, which for me, as a woman in magic, I've been a little hesitant to join the local magic clubs because they're so male dominated. And so it's been a little like, I don't know. But with the Mystery School, there's a lot of other women that are a part of the Mystery School and a lot of other types of magic, because that's the other part too, right? Because I don't really do cards. And a lot of these magic communities, it's card heavy. They'll just jam with playing cards. And I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs because I don't do cards really. So it's fun to be a part of a group that focuses on all areas of magic and helps push those boundaries. And then I also have been working with Jeff directly, and I actually have a meeting with him later today, but he's wonderful. He has so many ideas on things. If you're stuck on something, he's, you know, he can help push you and get you in the right direction and give you resources. And I can't say, so there's so many good things about Jeff. I can't even say enough of good things about Jeff McBride. He's amazing.
Do bubble magicians use similar techniques as regular magicians?
They do. There are some types of bubble magic that are more akin to juggling and skill than they are to magic, but it is a type of manipulation. So yeah, there isn't as much misdirection. And it's actually part of a thing that I say in my show is that I feel weird calling myself a magician sometimes because there's no trick to what I'm doing when I'm making bubble sculptures. You see everything that I'm doing. And as my friend and mentor Tom Nowdy always says, bubbles are no illusion, they're real magic. So there are some similar principles, especially you're building a routine and you have different types of bubble routines. So I would say yes. They do have similar properties to a magician creating a show.
Where do you see bubble magic in the next 5 years?
I think it's going to explode. So I'm a part of Bubble U with Carissa Hendricks. I teach bubble artistry and bubble performance. And I really think that bubble shows and bubble artistry is kind of going to go the way of, say, face painting has in the past 10 years. In my area, at least I know, there are tons of face painters, balloon twisters, not as many magicians, but I think bubble shows are going to kind of go in that direction, and there's going to be a lot more bubble artists popping up.
Many artists have done Zoom shows over the last year. What's it like performing on Zoom with bubbles?
You know, I got really lucky performing on Zoom with bubbles because one of the fun things about bubbles, or challenging things, I should say, is that bubbles have to have a very specific environment, and there's a lot of elements that can be out of your control when you go to a theatrical space, and that you have to correct when you get there. There's the humidity, there's the lighting. So I'm very fortunate that in the bubble studio, I get to control everything. I have mats all over my floor. I have the optimal lighting where it's a dark background and I have diffused lights up here. You know, when I go to a live theatrical space, that's not always the case. So Zoom has been great. So I also really love that in this Zoom format, I can get up real close with my bubbles and show my audience a real close-up view of what I'm doing. So everybody gets a front seat. And I think that's a really fortunate thing about Zoom. It was really hard trying to figure out all the technology to having a Zoom show. That has been really challenging, but I think during the pandemic, it's been such an experience that now I know how to do all these things. And so that, I think that's great. When you get to hop into something and just dive right in and learn it, it only benefits you for the future.
Mentalist Max Maven gave you high praise for your show. What was that like for you?
That was nerve-wracking. I met Max Maven a few years ago at the Circle of Bizarre Magic here in the Northeast, and I totally fangirled because I was still very new into magic, and it was like, hi, Max Maven. So it was great. So when I invited him to my show on Zoom, I didn't think he was going to come. So he did. And I was like, oh no, what have I done? But he's so sweet and he's so great. And I was so happy to have him at my show. And he gave me a really great review that it just was the most Max Maven way of giving a review for a bubble show. So I really enjoyed it and it was great.
Can you recall the largest bubble you've ever created for a show?
Oh gosh, yes. There was a Ren Faire that I did a few years ago that we were right next to a lake. So we had optimal humidity in the air, really high humidity, a lot of moisture in the air. And I actually went out on a dock. There was no wind. There was hardly any wind. And I created a bubble that was probably 25, 30 feet long. It was so huge. And I have a picture of it. I'll send it to you later. But it was pretty amazing. And I was fortunate that there was a photographer there that could capture it. That was probably the longest I've done. There was another bubble that I did at another Ren Faire that was at the Philadelphia Ren Faire. And it was a really tall bubble. Probably about 15, 20 feet. So they can get pretty massive. It gets a little tricky to get them that big. It depends on your bubble recipe, but it also your biggest ingredient is your environment and the weather conditions. So it just so happens sometimes the conditions are just right. And that makes me really happy when that happens.
You don't just go by the name of Meadow Perry, but you go by the name of Meadowlark the Fairy. Who is Meadowlark the Fairy and how did the character come about?
Well, Meadowlark the Fairy is a character that I created for the Renaissance Fair and for children's parties because I used to do princess performing. I'm a musical theater gal. I went to school for musical theater. And so, getting to rehearsals was really hard. So I started doing princess entertainment, Let It Go. And, along the way, Elsa gets the credit at the end of the day. And I was wanting a little bit more. So I created Meadowlark the Fairy. And she was this fairy character because she's kind of princess adjacent. So, and I decided I wanted to start doing magic. So I created Meadowlark. And a bunch of my friends were like, wow, this character that you made belongs at the Ren Faire. So I said, well, yeah, she is very Ren Faire-ish. And that was on purpose. And so I auditioned for the Ren Faire and said, hey, can I bring this bubble thing? And I started doing the big bubbles there as Meadowlark the Fairy, and it became a huge hit. So she really gave birth to me as a magician and kind of gave the opportunity to work in sort of a sandbox and play with magic and discover the things that I liked and wanted to add to my show. And now Meadowlark is kind of, she's put away in a box. She's kind of a memory now. And now it's just Meadow Perry. She used to be this character because I wasn't comfortable being myself on stage. And so she was this character that I sort of hid behind. And along the way, I've become more comfortable. So now I'm comfortable being Meadow Perry on stage. And so now if you see my newest iteration that I do at Renaissance Fairs, I'm sort of this sorceress looking character. And I am myself. I am Meadow Perry, the bubble magician. So I certainly will bring Meadowlark the Fairy out if people request her. But now it's mostly just Meadow Perry.
You said you were a theater actress trained thing. So how does that prepare you for doing the bubble acting and all bubble magician and all that stuff?
I think I'm very fortunate because a lot of magicians and a lot of bubble artists sort of start with the magic and start with the skills and then they add the acting. And that's a little harder. Whereas I have the acting and then I added these other skills. So I'm kind of fortunate that I did it sort of backwards to what most people do. And that I have this theatricality and sort of this vision for costuming and characterization. And why am I doing this thing? Why would I do this next thing? Because yes, I am Meadow Perry doing a magic show, but what does Meadow Perry want to show the world? What do I want to show people with my bubbles? So, and that's a huge thing that the Magic and Mystery School like goes into with storytelling and why, what's your magic? Where does your power come from? And I love all of that stuff.
Do you have to, when you go out with people, they ask you to go, can you do a bubble trick for me or something like that when you go out with people and stuff like that?
I get that once in a great while, but not usually.
Okay. And finally, where can people find you online? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, website?
You can find me at meadowperry.com. And I'm also on most social media sites. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Not really sure what I'm doing there, but people seem to like me and my bubble magic. So you can find me at Meadow Perry Official.
Okay, so thank you, Meadow, for joining me today on Let's Chat With.
It's been a pleasure.